Hope Bridge is on a gospel-led mission to transform the foster care landscape in Ohio. We're here to raise awareness and empower churches and communities to step into action by supporting vulnerable children and families in their local communities. In this podcast, we'll be shining a light on stories of hope, redemption, and transformation, and sharing practical ways that you can step in and get involved. Welcome to Restoried, a podcast by Hope Bridge. Welcome back to Restoried, a podcast by Hope Bridge. I'm Nicole Bowman, and I will be the host for today. Today's guest is Krista Carrero. Krista is an adoptive mom, biological mom, and foster mom, and she is also the founder of Hopeful Pastures, a nonprofit here in Ohio that aims to offer hope and education to vulnerable children and families through animal-assisted interventions, as well as mentorship and guided lessons. I was introduced to Krista by a mutual friend, Jolana Goble, and I will tell you, she is just a delightful human being, and I am excited to have her here on the show. Thank you, Krista, for joining us today.
It is a true honor and privilege to be here with you, Nicole. Thank you so much for having me.
So why don't we get started? Can you tell us a little bit about your family and who you do life with?
So my husband Isidro, and I, we are licensed foster parents. We've been blessed with six beautiful daughters. Our oldest is adopted internationally, and we have four biological children, and our youngest was adopted through foster care after 3.5 years of being in care. Each one of our daughters are miracles and gifts.
You shared with me that your journey into adoption and foster care began at a very young age. I would love for you to share with us how that started and catch us up to where you are today.
Thank you. So my parents modeled compassion as they fostered and later adopted two of my siblings from the St. Aloysius Orphanage and raised all 10 of us on a dairy farm in Okeana, Ohio. Faith, family, strong work ethics, and serving others were all principles we were raised with and held dearly. My journey was strongly influenced by my parents' Christ-like example and taking us to church faithfully. From the time I was 12 years old, the Lord impressed a desire in my heart to adopt, serve on the mission field, and work in orphan care. It all began when my missionette teacher, Connie Jarvis, went on a short-term mission trip to Mexico City, came back, gave her testimony, and shared her heart-wrenching stories about the great need in the garbage dumps of Mexico City. The photos of those children are still ingrained in my memory. She ended up going into full-time missions and began Operation Serve International in Mexico City. Also at the age of 12, my dad bought me a Tennessee Walker horse named Rosie, who got me through some difficult times during my tween and teen years. From the time I entered kindergarten all the way up to the eighth grade, I was bullied on a daily basis. But it was on the back of my horse where I found refuge. It was the time I spent grooming her, caring for her, and riding her through the open pastures and the fields that I could talk to God, let out all my frustrations, and learn to hear God's voice. I could share my deepest, darkest secrets with Rosie with no judgment. As I learned to trust my horse, I learned to trust my Heavenly Father and grow in my prayer walk. Animals and caring for kids in hard places are both near and dear to me. And deep in my heart, I knew that somehow animals and family would be incorporated into the picture of what God had in store for my life. But at that young age, I had no comprehension of how. I just knew it was my horse who had been a refuge for me. So I have a fun fact for us about horses. So the horse's emotional intelligence, sensitivity to body language, and keen observation skills mean that they can respond to and even mirror human behavior and the emotions driving that behavior. In a therapeutic situation, this mirroring helps, in our case, the program child develop a keener sense of self-awareness and use the horse's behavior to better understand their own. And my horse truly did that for me.
I love that.
Yeah. So fast forward, after graduating high school, I immediately entered cosmetology school, as that was my ticket to the international mission field. I got sidetracked from what was instilled in me, but thankfully the door opened for me to go into the Master's Commission Discipleship Program in Trinity Life Bible College out in Greeley, Colorado. This helped me get back on the path the Lord had for me. The summer after Master's Commission, I interned with Connie, my former missionette teacher, utilizing the skills I learned. I spent my summer in Mexico City overseeing the hair clinic, cutting hair and treating head lice for hundreds of children who lived in the garbage dumps and surrounding poverty-stricken areas. So after my internship, I learned about a need in Guatemala from Linda Kimball, who adopted two precious little ones from the Casa Bernabe orphanage. In preparation for my trip, I corresponded with the director of the orphanage through email 4 weeks prior to traveling and learned about a one-month-old baby girl who was in critical health. She asked for prayer for her, and in that moment, I wept uncontrollably and began interceding for her. So at the age of 20, I ventured into the international mission field to serve as an administrative assistant to the directors of the Casa Bernabe orphanage. And little did I know that the little one I had been praying for would not only capture my heart when I laid eyes on her, but forever impact my life and so many around me. That little bundle of joy would eventually become my daughter. It was during this time that I met so many incredible short and long-term missionaries, one of those being Jelana Goble. Jelana personally knew my daughter's birth mom and actually had the amazing opportunity to give her her name and to help care for her. My daughter gave permission for me to share this, and that our story is in Jelana's incredibly inspiring book, A Love Stretched Life. So after three of the most life-impacting years of my life, with God's miraculous intervention, the adoption was finalized. I came off the international mission field as a single mama, leaving the 125 kiddos at Casa Bernabe, a culture and a people that I love dearly, to care for the one God entrusted in my care. So while on the international mission field, on a short trip home in 2001, I met my husband, who is originally from the Dominican Republic, at my home church. We were later married in 2003. 3 years after my husband and I were married, he legally became papa, to our joy. For the first time, she had the opportunity to share her story at the Thrive Adoption Conference in Hamilton, Ohio, in March of 2023. So because caring for the fatherless continued to be my heartbeat, we started looking to serve vulnerable children locally, which is when we were first licensed over 19 years ago. Our little Joy was 5 years old at the time, and I was expecting our first biological daughter when we were licensed. My husband was open to the idea of fostering. It wasn't something that he was even familiar with until we started researching.
That's beautiful. So many of us have heard the statistics that 50% of families quit fostering within their first year of being licensed due to lack of support. Can you share with us how this impacted you and your family?
Absolutely. Thank you, Nicole. So that was our story. We didn't have the support nor a community around us at that time, so we let our license lapse. 6 years later, we were recertified when we learned a two-year-old little girl's bio sister, who we loved and cared about, came into the foster care system. With a continued growing desire to provide a forever home to those who didn't have one, we set off on our fostering journey. For the longest time, we were the only bilingual family licensed in our county, so the need to foster Spanish-speaking teen girls was evident. So we set out with our five brave daughters, disrupting all five of our daughters' birth order so that we could provide a stable home environment for teen girls, teen moms, and later, large sibling groups. Little did we know that God had other plans, and our story would be to build relationships to foster, build those relationships with biofamilies, extend support to birth families, and equip teen girls to realize their worth and begin their journey, knowing they had a family who loved and believed in them. My amazing supportive husband and I, along with our five courageous daughters, welcomed 35 children through foster care in our hearts and home over the past 11 years. Fostering has truly been a family effort. And Nicole, I just want to pause and say it is because of the hard work, sweat, and loving support of my husband and the innate understanding and commitment that our girls made to love the vulnerable that helped cultivate what was next. So in January of 2020, I received a text message from the birth mother of twin boys and their older brother who were placed with us almost 2 years prior. They had since reunited with their birth mom, but we were their extended family and would have them on the weekends. The twins came to us at 1 month old with skull fractures, brain bleeds, retinal hemorrhage, broken and healing ribs, fractured scapulas. We had to relearn how to care for infants as they couldn't be burped by patting their backs. These boys were so broken. I slept next to them on the couch with my hand on their chest for 9 months because of fear that they would stop breathing or choke. These boys were a part of us. Once we were working towards reunifying with birth mom, we brought her in our home and taught her how to care for the boys and what foods they liked. And we went to therapies together. She became a part of us. Their birth mom communicated that it wasn't anything we did, but it was too hard for her to see us as it reminded her of the past that she wanted to put behind her so we would no longer see them. This message, Nicole, came just it came just a day before the blessing party we had for another sibling group of three that was reunifying with their birth family in another state. And then once we launched them, just a couple weeks later, I took my oldest daughter back to Guatemala to meet her birth family. At that time, she was 20 years old and ready to meet her birth mom. It was a beautiful reunification. She met her birth mom and her birth grandparents and her grandma and her brothers. And I just praise God for the gift of that trip and the reunification, because the borders shut down a month later due to COVID. And the following year, her belly mama passed away tragically. So it was on that same trip, I was determined to locate a little girl who had cerebral palsy. I cared for her at the orphanage and I loved her dearly. Once she aged out of the orphanage, she reunited with her birth family who did the best they could to care for her. But their living conditions consisted of a one-room home with a dirt floor and no running water. The former director of the orphanage and I set out to locate this young lady, having two failed attempts, and on the third time, we were successful to find her family, only to learn that she had died 9 years earlier. I came home from that trip with both full of joy that my daughter was reunified with her birth family, and yet complete and utter brokenness. Heartsick for the loss of seven children who I love dearly and had the reality of losing just in that short time from the beginning of January to wow. It was just 20 days.
That's a lot in just a short amount of time. A lot of grief and loss, and that's part of our journey sometimes in foster care, is just all those losses. And you decided to take the situation and do something with it. What did you guys do?
Yes. So this set the framework for what would one day be a hopeful situation. So it was through our own fostering journey that we realized the critical need to support foster, adoptive, birth, and kinship families. So from there, Hopeful Pastures was launched in September of 2020.
I love that. And I would love to hear how you run things. What does it look like at Hopeful Pastures? What do y'all do? If you can kind of explain that to us, that would be amazing.
Sure. Thank you. So our mission is we believe that vulnerable children need opportunities in a safe environment to overcome fear, loss, and trauma by promoting healing, order, peace, and encouragement through animal-assisted interventions and mentorship, embracing the family as a whole. We exist to provide a secure atmosphere where each individual can receive acceptance, a positive experience for children ages 5 to 21, and families to learn about the hope of Jesus and healthy coping skills through animal-assisted therapeutic sessions in a peaceful, calm, and rural setting. So it was through our own fostering journey, through realizing the critical need for support for these foster, adoptive, birth, kinship families, that it all started. It was launched in September of 2020, all because of a horse who became a catalyst of healing to me as a teenager, a fierce love for children and animals that and the inspiration from Kim Meter's testimony, who founded Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch in Oregon, our personal fostering journey, and a desire to create a place of refuge as my parents provided for us kids, we developed a model to offer hope to vulnerable children in our community through animal-assisted interventions. So kids who experience hardship will be matched with an animal and a community mentor that we call Pasture Pal. This program encompasses animal learning, animal safety, proper animal care, bonding, building trust, sensory play, nature journaling, purposeful conversation, learning responsibility, self-regulation, and a faith-based curriculum which promotes healing and restoration of the child's spirit. So we support the family by offering mentorship to the parents and childcare for siblings, embracing the family as a whole.
I love that. And so how many families have you served, and what kind of animals do you have? I'd like to hear the fun facts about your organization.
Thank you. So we started in January of 2021 with one little boy and one dad. And at the end of January of 2022, we had served 172 children and 77 unique families. And then in addition to that, for 2023, we had served 93 children and 50 unique families, totaling 265 children and 127 families.
I love
that. So talking about our animals, we have 3 rabbits, 1 mini donkey, 1 mini horse, 2 full-size horses, 2 alpacas, 4 goats, 7 cats, 1 zebu calf, 2 hair sheep lambs, 12 baby chicks, 3 silky chickens, and 4 ducks on our farm.
My kids would love to come out there and hang out.
We would love to have you all.
We have a handful of animals, some of those animals, but I am sure if they saw the ones you had, we would probably be in trouble. This sounds amazing. And how do you get your funding, and how did you guys get started?
Thank you. So 65% of our funding comes from grants and 35% comes from private donations. So we are just so blessed with volunteers in our community, with local churches that have come alongside and support us, and local organizations. And it was actually one of our program kids was temporarily placed with his uncle, and he came through as a program parent and got to experience what we do. And after completing the program, he came and talked to me and just said, "I believe in what you do," and that he wanted to help build our vision. And he's like, you dream it and we will help build it. So he is just a tremendous part of, along with our local church, one church, the Lindenwell Baptist campus, that has just supported us in such a tremendous way. We've received grants through the Hamilton Community Foundation and other local foundations that are helping us move forward with our sensory barn project. And that is just super exciting to have those safe spaces for the children to come and for all the animals to have their own enclosure. But really for these kids to have that one-on-one experience. So I want to share a story of a little guy. He was the second little boy enrolled in our program. And 3 weeks had gone by and we did not know if we were making any impact whatsoever. And on that third week, he was holding this bunny. And our bunny's name is Essie. And as he's holding Essie, his countenance just melts. Like, I see this child who was so anxious and just all climbing the walls. In that moment, he was holding this bunny and he just, everything within him just calmed and his whole demeanor changed, his countenance changed. And it was through that rabbit listening to our curriculum as Mr. Jeremy was doing the lesson, the Orby for Orphan, and he was learning about God is the one who heals, the one who sees. He's the one that never leaves us, that in that moment, everything changed. So that mama had come to us desperate. The school, the administration did not know what to do with this child. The teacher at that point was recommending institutionalizing him and hospitalization. And 6 weeks after he enrolled in our program, Nicole, we received a letter from the mom and saying that she was so ecstatic with what was happening. Her son was, he was student of the month. Wow. And the teacher wrote her a letter saying that it was a joy to have her son in class. He was no longer failing. And the only thing that had changed in his life was he had started our program and he was consistently coming every week to the sessions. And it was through the rabbits and through the kitties and through the animals on our farm that he began his healing journey.
I love that. And I love the fact that, you know, the work we do is hard, you know, whether you're a foster parent, adoptive parent, you're in nonprofit work, you're serving the vulnerable, and we don't always have the privilege of seeing the impact that our work is making. And so when God allows us to see that, it's such a beautiful thing. And I just love the work that you're doing. I love the fact that you've recognized the need for community. You've created community for people who have been in care, who are caring for kids in care. And it's just so neat to see what God can do with our circumstances, our situations. He takes our grief and our heartaches and he takes them and he uses it to propel us sometimes to reach out and show compassion to others. And like Jolana's book says, love stretched life. And for sure, it's the same for you, that your life has been stretched in many ways through your experiences and has given you a greater capacity to love and care for the people that you're serving. And I'm just so grateful for you, Krista, and your husband, for answering the call to step into this work and to continue to serve families, even though it's not always easy. And I know you are such a blessing to those that you are in contact with. And any final thoughts? Where can people find you if they want to check out your organization?
Sure. Yes. So I People can find us at www.hopefulpastures.org, HOPEFULLPASTURES.org. So I just wanted to share how animals provide that purely non-judgmental space for our program kids to work out their problems, just as I shared with the little boy with the bunny. Evidence proves that interacting with animals has resulted in behavioral improvement in children, and it is that unspoken connection one can have with an animal that can help aid in the healing process. It's the presence of animals themselves that is so soothing and can quickly build rapport between a mentor, or in our case, a pasture pal, and a program child. And one of my all-time favorite verses is from James 1:27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And that is our heartbeat at Hopeful Pastures. We want to build that community, that support for all of the families, for foster, adoptive, kinship, birth, realizing that whether it's resources or the emotional support, we want to be Jesus' hands and feet and just wrap our arms around each family. And I just want to close with this. This is a testimony from one of our moms, and it just captures the impact of Hopeful Pastures, and it's God's work. He is at work. So this was the testimony. It was so beneficial for our kids who were very obviously struggling and needed help. They learned new things and were made to feel both safe and confident. It was also incredibly beneficial for us as well. We are caregivers living in a stressed state of perpetual caregiving. So for the first time since all the trauma started to come out, we were instead cared for. Being here has been an oasis for us in the midst of the chaos. There was so much respect for our children's trauma as well as ours. This was God's grace to us, giving us something we desperately needed. So I'm so grateful. Thank you. I'm so grateful for all of our amazing volunteers, for the hours that they put in, for the beautiful partnerships and the tapestry that God has woven with Tried and True Parenting Solutions and Envision Partnerships, who just comes alongside us, and the local churches that support us, and the individuals that believe in our mission, and the families that we serve, that we're just so grateful for each one of them because they keep coming back to us. So we have a graduating, we now have worked through a graduation process, and the families can actually come back and serve with us as volunteers, which is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that's so good. Yes. So good. Thank you so much, Krista. I really appreciate it. And I enjoyed having you on, and looking forward to seeing you in person here real soon. And I just thankful for you and thankful for your family. And for those of you who are searching for something to do when it comes to volunteer work, you're not sure where your place is, I just encourage you to seek the Lord. You can check us out at hopebridgeohio.org, fill out a volunteer application. If you are a foster or adoptive family and you're looking to connect, we would love to connect with you. Our heart is to build community and to bring people together, because this work is not easy that we do, but we know it's worthy work. It's kingdom work. And we are so grateful that you've joined us today, and we look forward to next time.